Today's episode is brought to you by Harvest House, a publishing house that produces fresh, innovative products that inspire creativity, encourage families, enrich lives, and point people toward Jesus. A few books for kids include Bible Infographic for Kids, a book full of colorful graphics to make the Bible come alive for kids, Love Made by Kina Aragon, a unique children's book celebrating the miracle of God's creation, and the Baby Believer Primers, which equip moms to teach infants and toddlers about God's Word. Find all these books and more at harvesthousepublishers.com. We're so thankful for Harvest House support. Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hey, guys.
And we just want to kind of start off today to talk a little bit. It's about midway through the season. We know we have tons of new faces here. We have new listeners. We have been so grateful just for seeing all of these new people coming and joining us here at Risen Motherhood. So if you are new, or even if you're not, we just thought we'd kind of start with talking about why we do Risen Motherhood, why we believe in this mission, and kind of what we're all about.
Yeah, I think something you may have heard us say before if you've been around is, hey, if motherhood is supposed to be one of life's biggest blessings, which we all think that and believe that, why is it so hard? Like, why do we need so much help? Why do we feel stressed? Why do we feel overwhelmed at times or guilty, or we continue to need more and more assistance? And Laura and I know those feelings firsthand. Mm-hmm. We have processed through those feelings over the years. And we feel like in the culture today and all of the answers that are out there and all the information that we have on Google and all of our many friendships and our mom tribes and the influencers on social media and all the messages that are out there, what's missing is the most true ancient story, which is just how God has worked throughout history to bring us to himself through Christ, and the way that he is going to be faithful to his promises and how that really matters to our lives. That's something that we're really, really passionate about helping moms understand.
Yeah, and I think what I love about kind of the different ways we do things at Risen Motherhood that we hope you guys will see is that we don't do a lot of practical or how-tos, or we're not probably speaking to the day-to-day methods of motherhood that might be out there, but instead what we really strive to do is pull back on that larger picture so that you can go out and kind of make individual decisions, but understand how to think. And that's something that I love about what we do here, because it feels like it takes a much larger picture of motherhood. And as Emily's saying, it really relieves a lot of those burdens, hopefully, as you get a fuller grasp of what your purpose for motherhood is. Because I think so often we get stuck in the success is going to be found if my kids go to bed on time with happy hearts. But really, we know that if we look at the broader picture, that, you know, success has already been achieved for us in Christ, and that we can now kind of live under that freedom of knowing the good work that he's done for us and live out in obedience, and that we're not resting our hope in our kids and in our day to day, but our hope is found in the eternal work of Christ.
Yeah. So what we want to talk then about today a little bit is how you could become a partner in that with us, this mission, this work that we get to do to share this good news with moms all over the world that are not only listening on the podcast each week, but that are scrolling through their social media feed and getting hope through the posts that we were able to do there, or the original articles that we're able to put on our website that may dig deeper into specific topics, or the resources that we curate on our website. All of that is funded by donations. We are funded in a lot of different ways, but donations is the primary way that this ministry and this work goes forward. And we need partners in order to continue doing that and making it free and accessible for all kinds of moms all over the world.
Yeah, so right now is actually our fall fundraiser, and we have a pretty hefty goal. It's $50,000. When we started this campaign, so this show is going to come out on a Wednesday, and we started just a couple days ago on Monday. So where we're at least as of that day, is that we are already $30,000 on the way to our goal. So we are trying to raise about $20,000 from our community here. We're grateful to a group of local donors that were willing to just start the pot of money for us. We're so, so grateful. And so we're asking you guys, our community, all of you guys listening today, to help us with that final $20,000 to raise. And what is really, really neat to look at, we were crunching some numbers and realized for just $25, you can help reach 19 women around the world, get the gospel for 1 year. And that is just really exciting to think about. If you think about, you know, a sweater or a dinner out or just different ways that we can all spend our money to kind of redirect that money towards Risen Motherhood is going to make an impact in women's lives all over the world. And it's just amazing to see that reach.
Right. And just a couple other things to help you as you're considering partnering with us is to note that we are a 501c3. Any gift or donation that you make is tax deductible. And we have a lot of different ways for you to give. If you go to risenmotherhood.com/donate, you'll be able to fill in the amount. And like Laura said, for $50, you can reach 38 moms with the gospel. For $100, that helps us reach 75 women with the gospel. So of course you can just scale that up. Every gift matters, whether it's a dollar or it's $1,000, it would make a huge impact because it's going to reach people with the eternal good news. So you can give to us through PayPal. You can give to us with your credit card, your debit card. You can give to us online. Again, that's risenmotherhood.com/donate to see the ways that you can give today.
Yeah. So we just want to lastly say we're so grateful to all of you. Like we said at the beginning, there are lots of new people around here. We are so grateful for every single one of our listeners. And even if you don't choose to partner with us financially, we just ask that you would continue to pray for us here at the ministry and for the gospel to go forth to women, no matter how God sees fit, that he would continue to bring gospel hope to moms. So head over again, if you'd like to contribute or even just learn more about what we do, risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and jump into today's show, kind of all about worry and the things that we process through in motherhood. I think there's something about growing older and gaining more responsibilities, you know, having a child or multiple children that you're responsible for that just, I think, doesn't feel as simple and as carefree as life used to be. I think, you know, as we go into adulthood, what is that? Adulting? Is that what they're calling it
now? That's right.
You realize, like, wow, I'm not as in control of things as I thought anymore, or I can look around me and see that people's lives don't always go as planned. My life doesn't always go as planned. And I think a lot of that can, you know, just give way to worry.
Yeah, I think the common thing that happens in motherhood is that we tend to focus in on a problem and turn it over and over again in our minds. And sometimes it floods into having us lose sleep, or we have a bad attitude because this one thing that we're worried about or we're bothered by tends to affect all these other things. Worry can even damage relationships, or we can feel just a lot of stress from these things that we're concerned about. And often in motherhood, the feelings of worry that we experience start even the day we become pregnant.
Just to kind of tee up a little bit of what we're going to share, I think, talked about this quote before, but Kathy Keller says something we really like. God doesn't give hypothetical grace for your hypothetical situation. And a lot of times when we're turning these things over, it's because we're thinking about something hypothetical. Whether that's realistic hypothetical or not, it hasn't happened yet. So just to jump in a little bit with the definition, because whenever we're talking about something like this, it's always good to get some parameters on it, say, what is it that we're really talking about? Webster defines worry as allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So that's kind of what we're going to be discussing today. It's that dwelling. Like Laura said, it's turning something in your mind over and over again and imagining all the facets of what could happen, or maybe you're playing out a specific scenario and thinking about what you might do with them. So that's really what worry is about.
When we talk about worry, it's maintained into our minds. So we do want to make a small distinction about anxiety and how that does tend to affect the body more. Often that can cause more emotional distress and sometimes even need more like a counselor or medication or just extra care to be able to heal from something like anxiety. But going back to kind of Webster, allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles, the key word that we really want to focus on for today's show is that word dwell.
Okay, so let's jump into kind of looking at what the gospel would say. It's interesting to think about the garden and Adam and Eve, and they had responsibilities. They had really purposeful work to do. You know, they're cultivating the ground, they're naming the animals, they're kind of ruling and reigning in God's earth. But in a sense, they didn't have a care. And by that, we mean God was with them and he was providing all the things that they needed. And he was their strength and their source of wisdom and help and all those different things. And so there really wasn't this need to be concerned in the same way that we are today of like, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next month? Because God was there fulfilling that at all times. They were fully dependent on him and they were in constant relationship with him. So that true essence of worry, that fear of the future wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to bet that Adam and Eve felt some type of worry after they ate the fruit. I mean, just thinking about them hiding in the bushes and they were uncertain of how the Lord would react. You know, they went over there and they were like, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? Because we don't know how God's going to react. And the best solution that they could come up with at the time.
We're going to wear leaves.
We're going to wear some foliage. So, but you know, that's how we are. You know, we're kind of just like picking stuff and shooting from the hip and trying to figure out what solution can I have to this problem. And I think we see that the fall just set in motion a whole new set of things for humans to worry about. And now we see that life is full of transitions or broken relationships. Humans are unpredictable. We don't know how they're going to respond. And so we worry about that. We worry about jobs or the weather, the stock market, expenses, car accidents, or even things like, hey, our kids are on the playground swinging on a swing. And what happens if they fall out? Or what can I do to prevent them to fall out? Life is full of all sorts of unpredictable things that we cannot prepare for. You know, that idea of the old adage is the only thing you can plan on is that life doesn't go to plan. That rings quite true. I think all of us can kind of say that, hey, I didn't plan for my life to turn out like this.
Yeah, it really is interesting, like what you're saying, to think about Adam and Eve and just when they pre-fall, there's this security and this peace. And then post-fall, there's that fragility that you see that suddenly they have to come up with their own solution. And that's terrifying because they actually don't have anything but hack jobs. You know, like they don't have any good anchor to hold on to. And what we see is that in redemptive history, God sends his son Jesus to be that anchor and to be that peace amidst any tumultuous thing that happens. He's the one who brings comfort and peace. In the Gospels, we read that Jesus says not to be anxious about your life, you know, what we're going to wear, what you're going to put on. And he talks about how God actually cares for the lilies and the sparrows. And, you know, these are really delicate, fragile things in nature that he is making sure, you know, they're beautiful and they have all that they need. So we don't need to fear. Another thing he says is, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, you know, it's almost interesting to see Jesus come and kind of give that proclamation to that things can, in a sense, be restored to what they were like in Eden. Like there can be this connection of relationship where there is peace, there is stability, there is someone providing for you, but it's only going to come through our trust in Jesus on the cross as we come weak, as we come going, the only thing I can do is cover myself with some foliage. And that's not really a solution. It's his shed blood that can be our solution, and he can be a comfort for us in whatever it is we're facing.
Yeah, I think that's huge, that piece that Jesus is a comfort. You know, so much of the do not be anxious, do not worry feels like this big, heavy command that we're always feeling like we're hitting up against. But really, this is offered as a comfort for us to run to Jesus. And I love thinking of Jesus' life and thinking about all of the people that he comforted who were worried while he walked the earth. You know, there was the woman caught in adultery that Jesus comforted, the disciples when they found out someone would betray Jesus, or the woman with the issue of blood. All of them must have been, to some extent, really worried about their unknown futures. But over and over again, we see Jesus speaking words of comfort to them.
Yeah, even think about Martha. Like, you know, he almost redirects her worry. So she's all worried by, you know, she's got to do all these things. She's got to get this stuff done. And he takes that and then he directs it to where her focus actually should be, which is him.
Yes.
So it's so neat to even see that picture of what he does for a worried heart.
Yes. And right, even in his death, Jesus comforted those who were probably worried too. You know, think about his mother, Mary. In John 19, it tells us that Jesus looked to John and told him to take care of his mother. Like, what words of comfort that even in his death, Jesus thought about other people. He thought about those who might be worried. And Mary was probably wondering, who's going to take care of me? What am I going to do without my son? And Jesus comforts her. I mean, I get the chills kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, it is really interesting to think even between death and resurrection, mm-hmm. like what they were all thinking about what had happened to Jesus and what was to come, and that he comes and he shows himself to them. Again, he redirects their worry and their concern and their insecurity, instability to him and his body and seeing, no, he's actually here. He's overcome death. He's showing his wounds. He's explaining how all of this was already prophesied, and he's giving them something to look ahead to that is also sure to happen, which is really neat that no matter what happens in this life, we know that we can look ahead and Jesus is returning again. Mm-hmm. We might not know all the details. There might be, you know, it may be a little different than what we, you know, think, but we can be 100% sure that for those who trust in Christ, there is an amazing eternal future coming, even if we have to deal with some really hard, scary things in this life.
Yeah. And until then, Jesus still offers comfort because he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, we still have help, because I think when we're worried, we're often thinking, help, how I need to get this done. How am I going to do this? Who's going to help me? What's the right answer? And we're grasping for help in those things. And Jesus didn't leave us alone even until his return. He said, in the meantime, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power through the Holy Spirit. So I think worry in our unpredictable lives on a broken earth is very normal. It's a pretty universal human response. Even my husband, who is very laid back and very like low key and doesn't ever seem to worry, like he has in fact experienced those emotions. But I think for us, we have to remember that God doesn't call us as believers to dwell on those problems that we're worried about. He calls us to dwell on him and the story that he has swept us up in.
Right. He gives us an answer to that normal response that we all have to the fallen world we live in by just saying, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you in 1 Peter 5. So again, that doesn't mean we're not going to experience the cares and the worry, but it does give us someone to turn to, and it gives us an answer. And it's not just, okay, I need to stop it. I need to stop worrying. I need to stop asking these questions, but I need to take these questions and these concerns to a person who is reigning, and he's sitting, you know, at the right hand of God, and Jesus is interceding for us, and he's bringing all those things to the Father. So I think there's just so much hope that there is help and answer to our worry.
Yeah, I think that the key here is, as we turn to Jesus, like Emily was saying, that we're turning our worry into worship. And so we want to talk through here a few things that we just see biblically people are doing when they are worried. And the first thing is remembering what God has done in the past. And so over and over again in scripture, we see God calling his people to remember what he has done. You know, he tells the Israelites to write songs about it, to put it on their door frames, to write them on their walls and tell their children. And in the early church, we see the apostles, they're kind of consistently recounting all of the magnificent things that God has done. And so remind yourself when you're worried about the past goodness of God. I mean, you can probably click through your life and think of ways that he has blessed and provided for you and your family, but you can also think about the grand plan of God, like we were talking about as we walked through the gospel. Everything from creation all the way until the day the Lord returns, he has planned and he has a good plan for, and he has been sovereign and he is writing history, and he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten anything that's happened. He's not surprised by, and he's not wondering, what am I going to do about, you know, this woman, this mother here? No, he knows and he cares. And so remember that God has been faithful in the past and he will continue to be faithful to you in the future.
Yeah, that's the next piece we just wanted to jump into, is that faithfulness in the future, that just as we look back on what he's done, we know that no matter what happens and every kind of trouble we will face in this life, and we will face trouble in this life, he provides ways out from temptation just through his word as we turn to him. He promises to care for us and protect us and to give us peace. And this isn't mean like, oh, I'm protecting you as in a bad thing will never happen to you, but he's protecting our hearts and he's keeping us sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because we are in Christ, we don't have to fear or be dismayed or give up, because God can give us strength. He can help us. Again, that spiritual help, he helps us with the, maybe even the church community that's around us. He can provide for us in really unique ways, again, no matter what happens. And I think that that's just another reason we can worship him. I know something that I try to do as a practical note in worry is sometimes I actually will let myself play out whatever the scenario is in my mind. Like, what's that worst case scenario? I'm kind of dancing around it in my head. Okay, let me just imagine that for a moment. And then let me imagine God there with me, providing, caring for me, loving me, being my steadfast hope, taking me all the way to eternity with him, no matter what that horrible thing is. And it sounds weird, but there is some comfort in that. It's almost like it kind of releases it, yeah. that worry's hold on me, because I'm like, yeah, I faced that and I still saw God there with me. And so I don't want to think about that anymore if I don't have to, but I know that no matter what, God will be there.
Amen. That's really good. And then lastly, just seeking God in the worry. So doing the two things that we just talked about, but one really practical thing you can do is take your worry and turn it into prayer or to song. And this is where we turn it into worship. And thinking of Paul and Silas in prison in Acts, they turned to prayer and singing hymns to God. And in fact, it not only comforted their souls, but it's cool to see how it comforted the other prisoners. And so I think that we can be a light to other people in our lives, to our children, to our husbands, to our friends and family, when there's like some very real things that everyone's like, aren't you worried? Aren't you worried? And like, yes, at a level, but what am I doing? I'm taking that worry and I'm bringing it to the throne. And one great way to do that is just to take time to pray and to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such a good point when people bring up that worry and that there's like two levels. There's that level of which, yeah, if I think about it, I am concerned, but there's that other level of actually, though, I really trust the Lord that he's going to provide for that in He's going to provide for me. Another thing is just to ask others around us to pray and even to speak truth to us. So this can be our husbands. If you're married, I think that's something my husband does well me.
When I'm the men?
I'm really worried. Our son got 20 mosquito bites. And this is, and I say that out loud to him. And he's really gracious often about hearing me and then just, you know, reminding me of truth. So I think it's important to know, like, this takes practice. This is something we have to train our brains. I remember hearing a while back, there's kind of like this neurological pattern that happens in your mind, and your brain actually takes the fastest route that it's most familiar with, especially if you're in stress. So I think there is this actual even brain biology, in addition to what the Bible tells us is true. Like, we have to reorient our minds and retrain our minds to take a worry to the Lord and turn it to worship.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, I think changing your what to who. So what am I going to do? What's happening? What are we going to do in this scenario? Those are good questions. And you should think about them. We're not saying, oh, no care in the world. No worries. But what we want you to do is ask that underlying question, which is, who will sustain me? Who has loved me already? Who has already rescued me from the grave? And asking those questions and being able to answer them, because you know biblical truth, is such a comfort to ask the deeper and really the better question, because God loves answering that question. Sometimes he doesn't answer our what am I going to do's very clearly, but he has clearly answered the who will save me, who will love me, who has cared for me always. And that's always God himself.
Mm-hmm. Just as we kind of wrap up here to add a layer of nuance to the conversation.
Ooh, you know we love nuance.
And just to add a practical note, like, I think there's an element at which worry can trigger us to be better stewards of our own lives and of the lives of our children. It can actually trigger us to go to the Word and see how we might live with more biblical wisdom or to cry out to God. And so much like fear, right? If none of us had fear at all,
we'd do some crazy stuff.
I'd be out hanging out on the highway, right? But there is a sense at which, hey, I'm concerned like about what kind of video my child may see, you know, over to grandparents' house. And so that may trigger me to go to the Lord, think about how I want to raise him, ask for wisdom, and then put some boundaries up to say, hey, there's some things we don't do over when we're away from mom and dad because I care about you. So I think we just want to add that practical layer that just because you're taking your worry and you're turning it to worship doesn't mean that your actions don't necessarily change. Like, we may still need to set up some boundaries and some wise actions that also help practically prevent whatever it is we're concerned about.
That's good stuff. Yeah. I think in closing, it's just worry. Our job isn't to completely eradicate it from our lives. I think it is a reality of living on a broken earth. But the key is what you do with those feelings of worry. Do you take them to the cross? Are you giving them to God? Are you trusting that he is sovereign over all? It's totally okay for you to say, I'm afraid, God, and I don't know what to do. It is totally okay to say, I need your help, Lord. Please show me the way. This was the cry of the psalmist over and over and over again. So it is okay to bring your cares to God. He wants you to do that. But then after that, when you bring them to him, are you trusting him? Are you believing him? Are you resting on Jesus and his power to sustain you? Or are you resting on your own efforts? So mm-hmm. as we close, those are some questions that we just hope that you think about and consider the next time you feel worry, or maybe your friend is expressing worry, like you can share with her some truths. So you can head to risenmotherhood.com, and there you're going to find a button to give to Risen Motherhood. We really hope that you guys will just pray and consider how the Lord might be leading you to contribute to the ministry that we do here at Risen Motherhood and continue to produce shows just like these so that women all over the world can hear them. And then lastly, check us out over on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll have links there as well for this worry show and also the pledge drive. So thanks for joining us.